We are going to talk about salvation by grace tonight, okay? Mm-hmm. You know, I know we're all Christians. We have been saved, and we have been saved by grace. Okay? So I want to open up in the Gospel of Luke, and we're going to begin in chapter 18, verses 9 through 14. So let me know when you're there, because this is the beginning of our lesson. Luke 18, verse
9. 18,
9
to
14. Okay.
Yep.
And this is a parable that the Lord Jesus was speaking to his disciples. You know, he spoke many, many parables throughout the gospel. We find that. So verse 9 says, also he spoke this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank you that I am not like the other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the tax collector, standing afar off, would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So here we have these verses. One, you have speaking about a Pharisee, talking about two men, right? A Pharisee. And the other one was a tax collector.
Right.
And even in verse 11, like the Pharisee says, I'm not unjust. I'm not like an adulterer, or even as this tax collector, or even as this person sitting here, standing afar from me, right? But we know from the gospel that Jesus many times used parables. He used stories, which illustrated spiritual truth, like we're learning today, right? And in this verse, he begins in verse 9, you know, and he begins by saying, he spoke this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. We just read it. And so here Jesus was targeting a certain audience, right? Those who trusted that they were righteous. They made themselves righteous. And those ones automatically despised and looked down on everyone else.
Yeah.
Have you ever been around people that just look down on you, right? They're like, they kind of rub you the wrong way, and you're like, who do you think you are, you know? Right? We've been there, right? They look down on you. And this is what this Pharisee was doing. He was looking down on this tax collector, right? And these type of people, we will call them self-righteous, which is what Jesus was speaking about, right? When he said they look down on everyone else saying, I am better than you. And this is what this Pharisee was saying. I'm better than an adulterer. I'm better than this tax collector. Like, I'm just better, you know? And we've met quite a few people like that. And, you know, and if you really think back, sometimes we may have been one of those ourselves, you know, in our past, right? We've all been there, right? We've all been there and done that. Thank God that the Lord Jesus came into our life, right? But here in verse 10, you know, the Lord is saying, speaking about the two men that went up to the temple, one to pray, right? And the other, one was a Pharisee, the other one was a tax collector, right? And we would say in today's language that they went to the church to pray, and the Pharisee was a very religious person in that time. And the word actually means Pharisee, it actually means the separated one, someone that was so religious that in a sense they would say, don't defile me, because they were so religious, right? Don't defile me, you know, don't do anything that would put me lower than you, you know? They thought that they were self-righteous, right? So, I think I got about the Gospels, and I think, and then the movie The Chosen comes into play when you have the Pharisees looking down at the multitude of people, also like how they got treated, right? They just didn't treat people right either, you know, not just the tax collector, they just didn't treat other people right. So Jesus also mentioned about the publican, right? And publicans were tax collectors. They were known to be very evil also, you know, so they weren't far off either. You know, tax collectors were known to, you know, to be sinful people also, who cheated and defrauded people because they collected taxes in any which way they could. Right. And they would deceive people because people didn't know that they were collecting extra money in order to pay off the Roman government. So they wanted to be favored by the Romans. So they would charge more, give the Roman government what it was due to them. But then they would keep the rest. So they were cheaters, these tax collectors. And the story continues on in verse 11, right? And now it's describing both of them, how they stood, how they prayed, right? And we read it here, the Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself. This is what the word says, with himself, right? God, I thank you that I'm not like the other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector. And I want you to notice this right here. Who was he praying to? Who was this Pharisee praying to? Notice that in the word. Who was the Pharisee praying to? Right? He was actually praying to himself. Even though he was saying God and using the right words, God was not acknowledging his prayer, and we'll see later why he wasn't. And you know, notice that he prayed, God, I thank you that I am not like other men. Right then and there, he's being self-righteous. So this Pharisee, right, this religious man said, I am not like other men. I am not sinful. I am not an extortioner. I am not unjust. I am not an adulterer. I am not like this publican right here who came to pray. So you see, he despised and he looked down on others because he thought he was better than them. And that is not a prayer that is pleasing to God. So he was actually praying to himself because God will not receive that type of prayer. We serve a good God. And self-righteousness is not of God. Amen. Look at verse 12. The Pharisee was saying, I fast twice a week. I give my tithe. I give my offerings of all that I own, of all that I possess. Right? And he was saying, notice what I do. He said, hey, put your eyes on me. This is what I do. And do you know what it means to fast? And we spoke about this the other day. Fasting is putting away all distractions, right? And some minister will say, well, fasting is staying away from food, right? That's what fasting is, right? But look at what we're talking about, this tax collector. He's just talking stuff. And while he's doing this, he's just showing off. He's showing off who he is. Showing off of the things that he does. Of the things that he owns. Why he can do these things, you know? And we know that he gave money to the church. We give money to the church, right? He gave money to the church. We give money to the church too. And he was one of those people who say, you know what? You know, I tithe, so don't bother me. I live a good life. I give to charity. I give money down at the church. And then we come to the tax collector, right? Because we were talking about the Pharisee, right? Now we come to the tax collector, right? In verse 13, and look at what he says. It's a big difference in what he's saying. He's saying, and the tax collector standing afar off. So he's actually from a distance. He's standing far off. That means he's standing in quite a bit of distance between wherever that Pharisee was, maybe inside the temple, right? This guy is standing far off and would not have so much as raised his eyes to heaven. You know, when you don't raise or you don't walk with your head held high, that means you have some type of shame. That means you're sorry about something, you know, when you walk with your eyes facing down, right? And the word continues to say, but he beat his breast, right? He beat his breast saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. You see, he recognized that he was a sinner, right? And this is so interesting, right? Because we see what the Pharisee was saying, and we also see what the tax collector was saying. They're both not very nice people. They're both, one was showing off, the other one was cheating people out of taxes, right? So they're both not very nice. But notice the body language from this publican, from this tax collector. He's saying he stood afar off. He didn't even go all the way into the church. He was so ashamed of his life and the things that he had done that he stood afar off. That's what the word says. And wouldn't even look up. Wouldn't lift his eyes and the things that he had done that he into heaven. He wouldn't even look into heaven because he felt so ashamed. And he began to beat on his breast. And when the Bible talks of beating the breast in the Old Testament, many times they also would tore their garments. Remember, in the Old Testament, not only would people beat on their breast, but they would also tear their garment because of shame, because of guilt, you know, because of displeasure that they had committed against God. Amen. And it was another way of saying, I am sorry, God, for what I've done. It was a sign of repentance, a contrite heart, and a broken spirit, which God would not despise. So this tax collector, sinful man that he was, because he was, cried out to God and prayed, God, be merciful to me. I am a sinner. You see the difference, right, between these two. Now, let's go to verse 14, right? Because we're dissecting salvation by grace. We're dissecting this Bible study right now from this parable. Verse 14 says, I tell you, this is the Lord Jesus speaking now. Now he's explaining this parable, right? I tell you, this man went down to his house justified. He's talking about the tax collector, justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. Do you see that?
Yes.
Right? I mean, the Lord is explaining the difference between these two men right here, right? Hallelujah, hallelujah. So the publican went home, the tax collector went home justified, and he was declared righteous before God. He was declared in right standing with God. He was forgiven by God. And why was he forgiven? Why did he go to his home in right standing before God and not the religious Pharisee? It was because the Pharisee exalted himself in the sight of God, saying, I am better than other people. I am not sinful. I am not like other men. While the tax collector, right, knew he had no standing before God. He knew nothing he could offer him because he was a sinful person. He recognized that he was a sinner. And the Bible tells us, right, that the Lord Jesus Christ didn't come to save righteous people, but sinners. And we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. So this tax collector, right, humbled himself and found forgiveness and pardon before the Lord. Amen. God forgave him because he had such a good prayer. He recognized, he humbled himself in the sight of God. And we're talking about salvation by grace. Grace is a wonderful word, right? And I'm going to give you an accepted definition of what it means, okay? Even the school that I go to, charis, right, means grace. Charis is the Greek word for grace. But grace means so much more than what we think. In the Greek language in which the New Testament was written, how many know that the New Testament was written from the Greek, right? Grace is the word charis, charis. And it's an accepted definition of grace. Is this an accepted one that we know about? Is grace is the free, unmerited favor of God toward people who don't deserve it, right? Did we deserve to be saved by grace? No. We were sinners, right? But thanks be to God and the Lord Jesus Christ who saved us, and we are saved by grace. So this tax collector didn't deserve anything from God. But he found God's favor because he humbled himself, right? Remember, we said this tax collector was out there deceiving people, cheating people, right? Collecting more than what he should. So he wasn't a nice person. He really didn't deserve anything from God. He really didn't deserve forgiveness from God. However, God's favor fell on him because he chose to humble himself in the sight of God. You see the difference? He chose to humble himself. And there's another word in the Greek that is called charisma, right? Which is charis with the suffix ma on the end. And it means a specific manifestation or form of God's grace. And this tax collector found justification, right standing before God as a gift to him. You see, God's grace was upon this tax collector. God justified him. God gave him right standing with God the Father as a free gift. Amen. Now let's go to the book of Romans, right? 5:17. Let's turn there now. We get so much from just going deeper into the Bible, right? Like right now we're learning about this parable and we really dissecting, right? The difference of on how the Pharisee stood before God and how this tax collector stood before God and what the words they spoke and how God treated this. That was the difference between both of them. And in Romans 5:17, look at what it says. It says, "For if by the one man's offense death reigned through the one, much more those who receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ." Right? So they who receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness, the word is saying, will reign in life by one. By who? The Lord Jesus Christ himself. Because God offers you and me right standing before God as a gift, right? We were gifted. When we accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, guess what the Lord did? He placed a garment of righteousness on us. He placed a robe of righteousness upon us. We didn't have to work for it. We didn't have to say anything for it, right? We didn't even deserve it, but yet God gifted us with that. And according to this passage, the tax collector found that gift of justification, right? That gift of righteousness that only comes through Jesus Christ by faith. Amen? Right? It only comes through the Lord by faith. Amen? This is powerful. Hallelujah. God did it. You know, God sent his son. And through his son, we have been justified. We have right standing with God. This is why sickness has no legal right in our body, because we have right standing with the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord Jesus has never been sick, will never ever be sick. And because he lives and resides in us, sickness, infirmities, disease, grief, sorrows have no legal right to be in us. That disease, that infirmity, it has to go. Has to go. It has to go in the name of Jesus. It has absolutely no legal right to invade our body. It has zero, none. Amen. Hallelujah. So we have such a beautiful gift from God right now. Amen. I want to turn to now the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 17. Hallelujah. This is so good. So good. I'm learning so much just by I just took a few minutes to study the Bible lesson, and I learned so much from it. But in the Gospel of John 1:17, right? This is what the word says. For the law. Now we're talking about the law, okay? For the law was given through Moses. But grace and truth came through the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. I mean, this is powerful. I've said it Sunday and I'm going to say it again. We have a better covenant today. Okay. We're not under the law. We just read it. We're not under the law. We are under grace. We have a better covenant. The law was given to Moses, but grace and truth came from the Lord Jesus Christ. And this grace is only offered to one kind of person, those who humble themselves in the sight of God, amen, and know that they have no standing before God. Hallelujah. Those who humble themselves in the sight of God have that grace offered to them. Amen. Amen. We have right standing with the Lord right now. We have been made righteous. And those also who cry for God's mercy, those are the ones who humble themselves in the sight of God. And when you humble yourself in the sight of God, you will find God's mercy and his pardon. Amen. And I found through studying, I want to mention this. I mentioned this earlier, right? That I found this new revelation here, because in the Gospel of John 1:17, it says, for the law was given, right? The law was given by Moses, but grace came, right? Through the Lord Jesus Christ, right? But here's what's interesting. So the law was a ministration of death, right? Man, there ain't nobody that can keep the law, okay? Not one person could keep that law. They had 613 laws in the old covenant, right? And on the day the law was given, 3,000 people died. And I couldn't remember this, but I need you to turn to the book of Exodus, because we need to read this ourselves. Amen. Exodus chapter 32. I want you to go there, because this is such revelation right here, right? Exodus chapter 32, verse 25. We're going to read through 28. Right? Exodus 32:25 says, now when Moses saw that the people were unrestrained, for Aaron had not restrained them to their shame among their enemies. Remember, Aaron didn't do many nice things. He actually allowed the people to put up an idol, for them to worship an idol, right? Before the Lord. Like, that was just not right. I don't even know where he got that idea from. But it goes on to say, then Moses stood in the entrance of the camp and said, whoever is on the Lord's side, come to me. And all the sons of Levi gathered themselves together to him. And he said to them, thus says the Lord God of Israel, let every man put his sword on his side and go in and out from entrance to entrance throughout the camp, and let every man kill his brother and every man his companion and every man his neighbor. So the sons of Levi did according to the word of Moses, and about 3,000 men of the people fell that day. Amen. So this law that we're talking about, the law was a ministration of death. My Lord, 3,000 people died because of this. They disobeyed God. They disobeyed Moses, but Moses was the one who got called to speak to the people. I mean, the people were in disobedience. The people were not doing right. And they were worshiping idols during this time. And Aaron was lacking leadership. I mean, Moses called Aaron to lead the people, but then he was lacking leadership. He allowed these people to do whatever they wanted. If you remember one time, Moses went to speak to God, and when he came down, Aaron had allowed the people to worship a golden calf. Mm-hmm. What type of leadership is that? But check this out. You know, in that day, 3,000 people died. But in the new covenant that we're in right now, right, it's a covenant of life. And on the day the church was born, the day of Pentecost, 3,000 people were born again unto eternal life. That's forgiveness. That is salvation by grace. And that's what we're talking about today. Amen. The Lord, we could never, never, never outdo the Lord. Amen. The Lord was automatically a killer. Amen. Nobody. If you broke one law, you broke them all. There was absolutely no grace in the law in the Old Testament. We have a better covenant now. We have a covenant of grace, a covenant of love, right? We have the Lord Jesus who provided this for us. But in the Old Testament, in the verses we read, 3,000 died, but when the church began, 3,000 got saved. Amen? 3,000 people were born again. 3,000 people, right? They manifested themselves in the sight of God. They spoke in new tongues. They spoke in new language. They were totally saved by grace. Amen. Hallelujah. And now these people have eternal life. Those that were born again in the day of Pentecost. So look at, I mean, numbers symbolize something. 3,000 in the old, 3,000 in the new. I mean, there is a comparison right here, right? And you know how God loves to use numbers in his word because numbers mean something. Amen. So here we have, you know, grace is only offered to one kind of person. And those are the ones that humble themselves in the sight of God and accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. Amen. Mm-hmm. We cannot acquire grace any other way. It is a gift. You don't have to earn it. You don't have to work for it. But if you humble yourself in the sight of God, there it is. Amen. You have it. You've been saved. And we've spoke about eternal life. And, you know, you're saved and you have eternal life. But there's so much more than just having eternal life. Now you have an abundant life that you can live every single day. You can walk in those blessings of God. You can walk in prosperity. You can walk in health. Amen. Because the Lord Jesus has provided all of that. Amen. Through the people that said yes to his son, Jesus. And that's us today. That's us today. So there is salvation by grace. Amen. So, you know, we just read the Gospel of Luke, chapter 18, and we read verses 9 through 14. And there's some questions here in my Bible studies. And it says, you know, this is an open Q&A. What is a parable? What is a parable? Let's go through some of these questions.
The story.
It's the story.
Yeah.
That's right. It is a story that displays and illustrates spiritual truth. When we read these scriptures, Luke 18, 9 through 14, we were listening to spiritual truth. We were seeing the illustration between the Pharisee and the tax collector, how they spoke, how they stood inside the church. One stood near the temple, right? Near the altar. The other one stood far off. So we saw the difference, right? And the word of God says, who was the Lord Jesus directing this parable to?
No.
When we began to read the parable, the Lord Jesus directed this. Huh?
Wasn't that to the himself, the
self-righteous. He directed it to the self-righteous because he wanted them to see the comparison. Amen. Between a self-righteous person and a person that literally humbled himself. Both, we said before, both the Pharisee and the tax collector, they were both sinners. They were both doing evil. Even though the Pharisee said, I am not a sinner. I am not unjust. You know, like he was just showing off and belittling others around him, including the tax collector. Amen. But this parable, amen, the Lord directed this parable to those who trusted in themselves that they were righteous, that they were self-righteous. Amen. Yes. And people that are self-righteous always reveal an attitude toward others. And according to Luke 18:9 that we that we read, what was the attitude that this Pharisee had?
Puffed up.
That's right. He was puffed up, showing off. He was despising others. He was looking down on others.
Yeah, better than anybody.
That's right. God will not exalt a person like that who's self-righteous. Never. And we know from Luke 18:10 that the two people, when they went to pray today, we will call that place a church. They both went to pray in the church. And who were these two people that we were talking about in these verses that we read? One was
the tax collector and the Pharisee.
That's right. They were both sinners, right? Amen. Lord. Thank you, Lord. And they threw in this in the Bible study. But it says, what does it mean to give a tithe? They threw it in here.
I was having a question.
What was the question?
What does it mean to give a tithe? It was in the verses that we read.
Okay. You were saying that, you know, what it teaches is money, but it's not just money.
Yeah. Well, the Pharisee was saying, well, I am not like the others. I tithe, you know. So he was just talking about himself. And that is, I give a tenth of my income. You know, like he was just showing up. Well, I do this. I fast. I tithe. I'm not like this other one, you know. So it's just making a comparison and just asking questions like this in this Bible study lesson. And where was the tax collector standing from the verses that we read? Right? He was standing afar, right? He was afraid to come to the altar because he felt so much shame. And that's what we were reading before. And it says, why was he standing afar off? Why was he standing afar off?
He recognized himself that he was a sinner.
Yeah.
He was ashamed.
He was ashamed to go inside the church. That's why he was standing afar off. He was standing from a distance because he felt, I am such a terrible sinner. You know, I can't even face God. I can't even go inside the temple. So he decided to remain outside. That's why the verses tell you that he was far off, that he was at a distance. You know, so. And why did the tax collector hang down his head and not look up?
Because he was ashamed.
That's right.
Right. Yeah, it was ashamed.
Yeah. Have we ever done something wrong and not look at a person in the face?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We all have. I know we all have. Amen. Yeah. Wow. So we can understand why he was, you know, praying from a distance, right?
Especially when we were younger and our parents were reprimanding us. We wouldn't look at them at all.
Exactly, because they would punish us with their eyes.
No, we would not look up at all.
No. That is, I still remember. Yep, it's so true.
You would hide.
That's right. So look, in Luke 18:13, what was this tax collector praying? What was he saying? What was he praying in Luke 18:13?
Was he praying that he was just not worthy enough, but have mercy on him even so?
That's right. He was speaking out loud and he's saying, God, be merciful to me. I am a sinner. He was confessing to God how he felt, you know, and who he was, right? And which, what was that?
When we repent.
That's right.
It's just like when we repent to God, yeah.
That's right.
Repent of wrongness.
And in Luke 18:14, which one of these men was declared righteous before God when he went to his home?
The tax collector.
Yeah.
That's right. Yep. And why was the tax collector declared righteous and not the Pharisee?
Because he humbled himself. He recognized that he wasn't worthy, that he was a sinner.
That's right. Amen.
Yep. And the other thing is, you know, when we look at the Pharisee, he was full of pride. He was just full of pride, and he didn't think he needed a savior. Right. See? And that's what happened. A lot of pride people said, I got this. Ain't nothing going to happen to me. I don't need Jesus, you know? They don't think they need a savior. They're just so puffed up, like Benit used before, those words, so puffed up. Of themselves.
Yeah, unfortunately.
So did God forgive the tax collector?
Yes he did.
he sure did. Why? Because he humbled himself.
Yeah.
Right. Listen, if Yeah. Remember, we're safe, right? And we're forgiven. And even if we did a little white lie and stuff like that, or stole maybe $5 from our children's purse or something, man, we are saved by grace. And God, if we come to God and we confess, we're forgiven, right?
Yes.
Yeah, that's the difference between grace and the law.
Exactly. The law kills. Grace saves, right? Amen. We're saved. Wow, this, you know, you got to see this, right? So if you right now got down, and this is probably from believers, right? Got down on your knees and cried out to God from your heart, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Right? Would God treat you the same way he treated the tax collector?
Yep.
Yeah, he would. Okay. Because you're humbling yourself.
Amen.
Yes, because when you acknowledge that you're a sinner, when you ask God for mercy, right? You are humbling yourself in the sight of God. And yes, he would. He would forgive you. He would cleanse you from all unrighteousness. From all unrighteousness. Because that's the God we serve. Right?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord for this, right? Hallelujah. That we are saved by grace. I mean, this is amazing. So let's, you know, when we look at this is the last scripture, when we look at the first book of John, right? And some of us know this by heart. First book of John, let's go there. Chapter 1, verses 8 through 9. 1 John 1, 8 through 9 says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And this is what verse 10:13, Romans 10:13 is all about, right? That when we humble ourselves in the sight of God, when we acknowledge that we've done wrong, when we acknowledge that we have sinned before God, God cleanses us. He gives us a brand new start. He says, woman, man, get up. Just keep going. Just keep going. Keep moving forward. I pay the price for you. I shed my blood at the cross for you. And the one thing that God loves is when we acknowledge the wrong that we have done, when we repent, and repenting just means turning away from sin, turn the other way, right?
Amen.
That's what it means. So when we acknowledge God, and we acknowledge that we need God, that we need a Savior, amen?
Amen.
That's where grace comes in. We've already been forgiven, right? But the grace of God. And this is why this Bible study is called Salvation by Grace, because it's by grace, through faith in Jesus Christ, that we have been saved. There's no other way. You will never be saved any other way. The Lord Jesus, He is the way, the truth, and the life. There's no other way. This is why other religions, they can't, no, you can't go through Allah. You can't go through Muhammad. And they're like, there's the only way to salvation and eternal life through the Lord Jesus Christ is through Him. He is the way. There's no other way. You can't get to heaven without the Lord Jesus Christ. You just can't.
Amen.
But the Lord made it very simple. God made it very simple. It's through my Son. For God so loved the world, right?
Yep.
He gave His Son for all of us. So whosoever acknowledges Him as the Son of God and recognizes and humbles themselves in the sight of God that, hey, you know, we don't have it all together. We need a Savior. God help me, you know? And you accept Him as Lord over your life, you are saved. You have salvation. Amen?
Amen.
We cannot reach sanctification on our own. We cannot be saved on our own. There's no forgiveness without the Lord Jesus, without acknowledging who He is in your life.
That's right.
And those who believe in things outside of that are just deceiving themselves. They're walking in error. They're deceiving themselves. Amen. They're not deceiving God. They're deceiving themselves. And the majority of people, because, you know, when you believe something so strongly, you begin to spread that out and you begin to influence other peoples, but they are in error. They're not speaking truth. You cannot save yourselves. You need the Lord Jesus. And those who are believing those things, that they don't need a God to be saved, they don't need a God in order to achieve heaven or achieve the blessings of God, they're only deceiving themselves. And they're lying. They're not walking in God's truth.
That's right.
Amen. And so, you know, this is why the Word of God says, you know, that we need to be in the know. We need to be in the truth. We need to be in the light. Amen. Because the truth of the word will set you free time and time again.
Study to show thyself approved.
That's right. And these wrong teachings only proceed from a heart that doesn't have Jesus or God's word in it. Mm. Amen. So this is why it's so important for us to share the truth, share the good news, share the word of God with others, because many of them are blinded by the world's false doctrine, by lies. They really don't know the truth. And that's why these Bible studies are so important, right? Because it allows us to go in deeper, to just dissect the word. Amen. Because it's very easy to come, you know, even though both Pharisee and the tax collector, they're both sinners. They were both doing wrong. But yet, because one of them chose to humble themselves in the sight of God, God forgave him. And that was the tax collector. He chose. You see, you got to choose. God doesn't force himself on you. You got to choose. You got to be intentional. But he, the tax collector, as we read, he was beating his chest. God, I am a sinner. Have mercy on me. I mean, that alone, that act alone, you know there's humbleness in there. You know there's repentance in there. And that's, and God loves that. God loves when we acknowledge, right?
The other example on the cross, when they had the two, and one of them also, you know, yes, was saying, because Jesus said, today,
you'll be in paradise.
That is a perfect example too. Yeah, that was great too, because we can see the difference, right?
Yeah.
One of them was saying, "Hey, you know, he's at the cross. He was already accused, you know." And the other thing was saying, "No, he did nothing wrong. Like, he was defending him, right?" And because he was speaking the truth, I believe, because he was speaking the truth and defending the Lord Jesus read his heart, saw his heart, knew his thoughts, and then looked at him and says, today you're going to be in paradise with me. Yeah. I mean, right then and there, he was forgiven.
Yeah. Yes.
The Lord Jesus didn't have to say.
That was a good thing. He did, yeah, because he did say, but we did what they say we did. We are thieves.
Right?
And that's what the tax collector was saying. I am a sinner.
Yes, yes, he did.
But again, you know, the one was mocked God, the other one humbled himself.
That's right.
You see? Which is what we see happening today.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Like, that was good. That was good, Liz.
That was a great example. My.
I wrote that down.
Yeah. But you see how crucial these Bible studies are. I believe, you know, even with the Q&A, you know, like, yeah, just talk, you know, we didn't even think about that, Liz. So it you just opened it up even more for us. You know, there was more revelation that just came in.
Yeah.
That's so good. It's so good, you know.
The Spirit of God.
Yes.
Really, so good. But but you know, this is a great lesson here.
This is good.
You know, I mean, all the Bible study lessons are good. We're able to, you know, communicate and speak out the words, ask questions, you know, bring answers, right? You know, like Liz just opened up a whole new scripture here, and we got the same revelation in a different story, right?
Yeah.
It's powerful.
Absolutely, yeah.
And we saw the difference, and it's very easy to say that both of them were not forgiven because of their history. It's very easy to think that, but yet because of what one of them said in prayer, gave him that oomph, right? That push. And God said, no, I'm setting this one apart.
Yes.
This one has my heart. Amen. You see? Not the other one. The other one was full of pride. Full of pride.
Not about us.
He was like, it's all about me. It's all about me. You know? Reminds me of Joyce Meyer. It's about me. It's just about me. Amen.
Yeah,
but it's so true. But any questions, any more comments?
No.
Amen. So we're going to end the Bible study.